I once knew a guy who really, really wanted to travel to New Zealand from the United States, but the 24-plus-hour flight kept him from ever doing it. After flying from Iceland to Cape Town, South Africa, I can't really say I blame him. Even with my fancy first-class seat and absolutely delectable food, when I stepped off the plane, I still moved like a sloth who had been hit by one of Wile E. Coyote's anvils. With the added impact of a few hectic days in Reykjavik and the extreme need for a shower, I was pretty much a mess. But that didn't stop me from being nearly ecstatic when I saw my first view of Table Mountain on our way to our hotel for the night. I had been dreaming of going to South Africa, Cape Town specifically, for years and years. And now, here I was. As we drove west toward the mountain, I tried to take in everything from the palm trees to the brightly colored buildings to the people walking along. It was spectacular, and I could not wait to enjoy the city. My best friend Beatty and I had made a lot of plans for things we wanted to see and do. But first, I wanted to see the Atlantic Ocean from as far from the U.S. as I could. Our cab driver was happy to oblige when my boyfriend Adair asked him to take the long way around to our hotel via the coast. And who could blame him? A better fare was a better fare. The four of us, Aaron, Adair, Beatty, and I, rode in silence through the growing cityscape, and I tried to soak it all in. But when I saw the brilliant blue of the water, so different from the dusky gray-green of the same ocean off the coast of Virginia where I lived, I gasped. It was striking, especially with the coastline curling around it. If I hadn't been so very tired, I would have wanted to be on one of those beaches all day. Our hotel, too, was striking. A spectacular structure of glass and concrete overlooking the harbor on the north side of the city. The windows bubbled out like domes from the top floors of the building, and as I stepped from the car, I tried to imagine what those incredible windows would let me see. I glanced at Beatty, who was standing slack-jawed in the middle of the sidewalk looking up at the building. "What is this place?" she finally stammered. A man in a very fine suit walked up and said, in one of my favorite accents in the entire world next to the ones of Virginia,
"It's the Silo Hotel, ma'am, if I may. I'll take your bag and tell you a bit as we walk."
Beatty silently handed over her large suitcase, but kept hold of our hamster BB's carrier. A line of other men in suits took our other bags in turn as the four of us followed the first man into the building.
"The silo was built in the 1920s as a grain silo, and just a few years ago it was remodeled into two things, our hotel and the Museum of Contemporary Art Africa."
He continued his description of the building, from the 28 boutique rooms inside to the architectural windows and other features of the building, as he led us to the front desk, where our colleague Boone was already checking us in. We were ostensibly here on business to buy a few books for my uncle and his bookstore back in Charlottesville. After a series of wild and woolly events in our last two book-buying locations, however, Boone and his team, including our two new friends Ivan and Frank, had recruited Beatty and me, plus our boyfriends Aaron and Adair, to help with some government contracting work.
"Oh yes, Mr. Stallone. I see we have four of our rooms reserved for you,"
the agent said as he took a very shiny card from Boone's hand and ran it through his terminal.
"Gregory here will see you up to your rooms. I hope you have a wonderful visit."
Boone smiled and turned to us, passing out room keys.
"We're all on the same floor, and we have a small conference room reserved as well," he said as we followed Gregory to the elevator. "Let's plan to meet there in an hour."
I shook my head. "No, I am going to enjoy a few days of R&R before any work. That was the agreement, and I will do no meetings until after I have had my vacation." I could hear the whine in my voice, but I didn't care. I was exhausted, and I was not going to have my trip to Cape Town derailed by Boone's business.
"All right, Poe, that's fine then," he smiled. "But I was only suggesting we meet so I could give you your per diem and tickets for the various sites around the city, if you'd rather not."
I groaned. "Fine, I'll take your free stuff,"